The Supreme Court will consider another controversial transgender case. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. While we await a ruling on whether bans in Republican-led states on gender-affirming care for kids are unconstitutional, the justices have decided to weigh in on bans in Democrat-run states, on counseling for children that aims to change their sexual orientation or gender identity.
The Supreme Court will review a challenge by therapist Kaylee Childs to Colorado state law banning conversion therapy for LGBTQ+ children. At issue is whether the law violates the free speech rights of counselors and therapists, which Childs says censors her conversations with clients. Colorado passed the law in 2019, saying it was needed because conversion therapy harms young people.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The day before U.S. talks with Ukraine and Saudi Arabia, Special Envoy to the Middle East Steve Witkoff will be there. Tells Fox he's hopeful they'll make significant progress trying to end the war with Russia. More than a week after the contentious White House meeting between President Trump and Ukraine's leader Volodymyr Zelensky.
Zelensky sent a letter to the president. He apologized for that whole incident that happened in the Oval Office. I think that was an important step.
Now an update on a disaster at sea this morning off England's coast.
The chief executive of Stena Bulk, the joint owner of the Stena Immaculate, has told the BBC all of its crew have been safely recovered. This after a cargo ship collided with the oil tanker, leaving both vessels on fire in the North Sea.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, 32 crew members who had to abandon both ships were rescued by the British Coast Guard. There's still worry on Wall Street about tariffs, even though President Trump insists.
I think the tariffs are going to be the greatest thing we've ever done as a country. It's going to make our country rich again.
Though he did admit to reporters on Air Force One there will be a transition, and he hesitated when asked if there could be a recession as Chinese retaliatory tariffs take effect on American food and farm exports. The Dow is dropping 337 points. The Nasdaq's plunging 650. America's listening to Fox News.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? Yikes. When it comes to big wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month, and that's not a short-term promo. But don't just take our word for it. Here's Jackie and Veronica, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
Our U.S.-based experts will get you switched and saving in about 20 minutes. Just call or click to see how much you can save today. Because when it comes to big wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com. That's 1-888-FREEDOM or ConsumerCellular.com today. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Moran-Norris. Well, the 32nd annual Midnight at the Oasis wrapped up another successful weekend in Yuma. The iconic event features hundreds of classic cars, making a must-see for car enthusiasts alike. Sunday, Caballeros de Yuma hosted an awards brunch where entrants learned whose car earned the top honors. During the brunch, the organization announced the winner of the 1967 Ford Galaxy 500. And the winner was Randy Chavez, a Yuma Proving Ground retiree. Organizers unveiled the car that will be raffled off at next year's Midnight at the Oasis, a 1975 Plymouth Duster. This weekend, the Yuma County Fairgrounds transformed into a hub for classic Volkswagen enthusiasts. The annual event is called Volkswagen on the River. The event started Friday with a chicken dinner kickoff, and Saturday's events consisted of a show and a swap meet and a raffle where attendees got a chance to win some prizes. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Sunny and 83, your forecast for today, and then cooler as the week progresses. 51, the overnight low tonight. Tomorrow, there's a pretty good chance of rain with a high of 74 and a rain chance at about 60% on Tuesday. 48 for Tuesday night, and then sunny, breezy, and 72, the high Wednesday. 50 on Wednesday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
You look amazing, Chris.
Thank you.
You're a specimen.
Well, I did shower today. But the, you know, the kind of the sweat suit culture, you know, you go on an airplane and it's just people are in their pajamas. And I was a big fan of Mad Men. And one of the things I loved about it is how put together. You didn't leave the house.
Yeah.
You were put together.
Yeah.
You're going on an airplane. I mean, you were wearing a suit. It was like going to church. You know. And now it's wake up, throw on the biggest thing you can find. You know, it's, I don't know. It's one of the declines, I think, in our society is a lack of presentation. To present yourself well. I try.
You know what I do when I fly? I wear compression socks.
Yeah.
The most sexy thing you can
You're
do.
You're at that age.
You wear compression socks at work.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. You have blood pressure issues?
I do not, but...
Why do you wear them then?
Because I have them now. I bought them to ride on the airplanes, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll just wear these all the time. I don't want to invest in other socks.
You feel like your energy is better because the circulation is better? Is that what it is? It promotes circulation?
Yeah, I guess originally it was to go on airplanes. So while I was flying long trips, like if you go to Europe or something, you know, it's like, 11 hours or something. And so we would wear, my wife and I would wear compression socks, like knee-high compression socks, just to keep that blood going.
Short shorts.
Because you sit for so long. Yeah, short shorts, as short as possible. And then it just converted to be, I'm like, well, if it works on the airplane, maybe it works at work when I was sitting down a lot. Now I don't really sit that much. I have a standing desk. Not to flex on everybody, but... I'm better than you.
Yeah. Just you're burning calories while you're typing.
Look down on everyone.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you're sitting?
Sending this email up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm laying.
Here's the five things I did last week.
Reclined in my couch as I type this.
Yeah, but the compression, it's not terrible. It's not a terrible feeling.
No.
You know, so when I go on our motorcycle rides or fishing, I'll wear, like, athletic, I don't know what, leggings sounds like the wrong term.
But yeah,
athletic, that's probably right.
Tights doesn't sound right either. But athletic compression pants or whatever.
Jane Fonda.
Or warmth and everything. But I got to be honest, if it was acceptable,
that's all you just sport those, okay?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good. Stuff glides. I mean, it's great.
I wear two pairs of socks every day. Every day.
Every day you wear two pairs of socks?
Yes.
Why is that?
I did it when I was hiking younger.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, that really felt a lot better. And I'm like, why not?
Two of the same socks? Or do you have like one's thin and then
no,
you
No, it doesn't really matter. It's yeah, they can't be both like thick socks. Usually I wear a lot of dress socks. And even if I'm wearing tennis shoes and shorts, you know, I'm wearing dress socks. Yeah, we're looking at my polka dot dress socks right now. And so I'll wear a pair of athletic socks generally underneath, just like, oh, yeah, there's this compression. They look like nylons.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, I'll wear some just athletic ankle high, I guess, Puma socks underneath. And then some dress socks.
Long crew.
And
crew socks.
Every day. Like, if I don't have two pair of socks, I feel like I'm barefooting it in my shoes.
Yeah, I feel like my shoes would be too tight.
Yeah.
Well, I buy my shoes large for that.
Hot.
What happens if the sock, like, underneath kind of shimmies loose?
Then never does.
Never does.
No,
all
no.
All socks, not a quitter.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I think, you know, it's more cushion. For if nothing else, it's more cushion. But I think the breathability.
Okay.
So, there you go.
It breathes more?
I think it's more breathable.
I would think your feet were like a sauna.
Yeah, I would think so too. But
you're
I think
like
that it like...
it out when you get
home. Insulating layer, like a Stanley Cup.
I've got the leather shoes on anyway. So if I were to go barefoot in those, they'd sweat like crazy. One pair of socks reduces a little bit. Two pair of socks, right?
So at home,
that only makes sense. That physics... That's physics right there, Adam.
Yeah, it might be. There might be like an air layer between the socks that's creating.
In hiking, you do it so you don't get
blisters.
Blisters on your feet. Gangrene. Yeah. So, no, so you don't get blisters, right? Because the friction rubs against the sock instead of your foot.
Okay.
And especially when you're wearing, like, rigid boots. And I'm wearing dress shoes all the time, and they're not as flexible as tennis shoes. And so, yeah, the friction, I guess, wears against the other sock. Anyway, I don't think anybody really cares that much. So we'll move on.
Speaking of which, nobody caring about your kids. My kids hate feet.
I didn't say no one cares. No one cares as much.
I think I agree with you. Like, nobody cares.
No one cares as much.
And I think he was emphasizing the your.
Right. Well, it's mostly the Hanson kids.
Yeah. Well, rightfully so. I'm the same way, man. I'm with you. So, no, they cannot stand feet. So, like, if we're piled on my bed or something, that's my favorite thing is just, like, reach out. And they're not paying attention and just touch my toe or my foot on them. They're like, oh!
Yeah.
They just go nuts.
Oh, my daughter will freak. Get those dogs off of me.
Yeah, get your dogs off of me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you get an ear pinch with a toe.
Oh, sick. Oh, what? How is that possible?
That's awesome.
Trauma.
That's dad glory right there. That's what we live for.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You wake your kids up with that?
Come on. Come on, sunshine.
Wakey, wakey. Eggs and bakey and toe jam. There's no way that your feet aren't sweaty. I just don't buy it. With two socks.
All right. We're doing a sweat test after work today.
Okay.
Foot five. Barefoot.
So I do have some questions for you. I prepped for this. I've been prepping for it all month since our last interview. Mm. And one of the questions is, what purchase have you made in your life that was like you anticipated it, you really looked forward to it, and then when you made that purchase, it was like, yes, that now I'm happy.
Ooh, good question.
On a scale from 1 to 10, we'll get to the second half of that question is how happy were you after the purchase?
Man, there's a scale to that, right? Because I've bought small things that I look forward to.
Let's break it down. Something that you really anticipated for a long time and you were just amped up for it, kind of like waiting for Christmas. And then you purchased it, and how did the reality compare to the anticipation?
Now, are we talking about when you got your first Nintendo as a kid?
It could be Nintendo, could be your truck, could be your whatever, your office building.
When we got our first Nintendo, it was mind-blowing.
Uh-huh.
Mind-blowing. My parents were good about, we had the Atari, we had the Intellivision, which I think was pre-Atari. We'd play Pong, just two cursors that would bounce a cursor back and forth, and we were blown away. My favorite game was Hunt the Wumpus.
Okay.
Hunt the Wumpus, and it was a math game. I hate math, but I loved Hunt the Wumpus. And if you got you had to get the math right in order to search the cave.
Oh.
And eventually you'd find the Wumpus.
Uh-huh.
This math monster.
I play that with my wife sometimes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hunt the Wumpus, it's a good one.
A comment.
I don't know. There's little things that I want. I love kitchen. I love cooking. And so I'll research and research and research to find the perfect pan or whatever. And then when it turns out to be great and work just as advertised, that's fantastic. I mean, I love my truck.
Whoa, that was the most anticlimactic item you could have said.
I don't know. I don't.
The perfect pan. You've got some pretty cool toys. You've got a sweet restored truck, you've got a nice boat, you've got a very nice fifth wheel, and you're talking about a pan?
Yeah, well, when you cook the perfect pancake on the perfect pan, it's just there's something that, you know, it's just there's a euphoria.
Do we have a contract for him to come back monthly? Because I think we need to review that.
Am I losing you? So something that I look forward to, a purchase that I look forward to. I loved, you know, you get a new iPad or something or the new iPhone.
Were you one of those that waited in line?
Only once did I wait in line. And then after that, there was online purchasing so you could pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
So the release date would show up, you know, so that's always just a fantastic feeling. And then when you see the new Retina display and compare it to the old one, I mean, I've got a stack of old.
Oh, you keep your iPhones? You don't, or iPads?
Oh yeah, no, I never give them to them.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, there's photos and things on there, pre iCloud. I mean, yeah. Every once in a while, I'll charge them up and scroll through the pictures and all that stuff, and there's some stuff on there you can't ever get back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so
sorry, that was anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was. I was hoping it
Our
to be.
You can edit that question.
No. It's all right.
What about you?
We want the authentic you.
This is just me.
Well, I want to know about the pan.
What's your pan?
My pan.
I want to know your pan though. Like, what pan that we need to be looking for?
So
at Home Goods,
I love cast iron. I love cooking with cast iron. But
oh,
when we were in,
those are difficult.
They're a little different. They take a little work.
Amateurs.
They take a little work, but the product is so much better.
I want Farberware Teflon.
No.
Hexagon.
I haven't tried those, but I don't know. I just, you can't beat hundreds of years of, you know, a lot of the cast iron that I have is antique. And what I love about it is it could have been used somewhere, you know, 100 years ago. Somebody made eggs in this thing 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I love to antique when we travel. I'll go somewhere and I go straight to the
cast iron. You go antiquing.
Yeah, I love it. My daughters love it. We go together. We go to New Orleans once a year, or for a while we were until COVID and everything. We'd walk down that antique row and go into every shop. And I've got some fantastic copper pans that I imagine were used in some, you know, Victorian home or something.
Copper, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a couple. I have some copper pans I really enjoy.
You hang them up around like an island in your kitchen?
I'm working on that. My wife is coming around to that idea.
So. Wow. So you're the one that is like pushing the remodeling of the kitchen to have all of your cookware hanging.
I'd like to. Yeah, I think some of it deserves to be seen. There's a lot of history in that stuff. And I've got some unique pieces, I'll call them. This is sounding really bougie, but some unique pieces of cast iron that are, you know, from the 1800s, you know, and I think that's really, really cool.
How do you know that?
There's marks on them. Stamps, and so when you purchase it, and you, I mean, a cast iron pan could be hundreds and hundreds of dollars depending on how old it is, how rare it is. And what's so fantastic is you can still use, I mean, you're using it, you know, it's not just on display.
And it's so porous that it still has some of the original bacon grease from the 1800s.
You could be tasting bacon that, you know, some cowboy had on the range, you know, in Oklahoma somewhere.
That always kind of got me. I was like, you need to season your pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, a little bit disgusts me. I thought, I want to clean my pan. I want to start fresh.
Well, you're cleaning it. You're cleaning it. Heat, I mean, what's going to survive 400, 500, 600 degrees?
Yeah, but even if it's clean, I mean, still there.
Yeah.
Anyway, you asked my favorite purchase. So this went in a totally different direction than I thought, but it's great. No. The reason why is because I was thinking back. All the things that I really anticipated wanting when I got them, it was a letdown. For example, I think the really big thing that I anticipated was a Harley Davidson, the first Harley Davidson. And my first motorcycle was a Honda Rebel. It was a 250.
Yeah, I remember the Rebel.
It was a 450. It was a 450.
Oh, okay.
And
I had a 250.
Yeah, the 450s.
The Honda Nighthawk. I didn't have the Rebel. I had the Nighthawk.
And I like
the Rebel was cool.
The Rebel is super
so low.
Cool. And it has pipes on both sides.
Yes. Yeah, the dual exhaust.
And I really liked that. I didn't know how to ride a motorcycle, so I had to have my friend ride it home for me. And I lived in a little cul-de-sac. I lived in a room of a house in a little cul-de-sac in Mesa, Arizona. And I was learning how to ride it, how to shift and do the clutch. And all the kids, was familiar with the kids. They would run around and say hi, and we would, you know, be out in the front yard. And so when I got the motorcycle, they were like very excited to see it. And they're all riding around on their bikes, watching me learn how to ride the motorcycle, wobbling and stuff like that. And like, you got it. And I'm like, clear out of the way. You never know when this thing's going to go.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
The Eldorado Broadcasters and this station congratulates the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members.
Pilot Travel Center, Coronado Hotel, Mishimosa LLC, and Next Care Urgent Care.
If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and enjoy all the benefits that membership brings, email Anna at yumachamber.org. That's Anna at yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2567.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. A real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank. And not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
From your friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
And so I learned how to ride that Honda Rebel, and that was awesome. That was like my first taste of freedom. I was 18 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Then my brother, he came across this good deal on a Harley. I was coming back from Brazil serving a mission, and he knew I didn't have a vehicle. So he was like, hey, I got this good deal on a Harley. You can drive this until you get a car and, you know, just pay me when you can type deal. And that, it was just like, I cannot believe it. My wildest dreams have come true. And it was very cool for the first month. And then riding, even in Mesa, riding to work at 5:30 in the morning in February, mm-hmm. I was a data input specialist. And so I had to work on the 10 key, and I couldn't actually start my job for like a half an hour after I got to work because my fingers were frozen. And I didn't have gloves. I was dirt poor when I came. And so I remember one of the workers, he had a Harley too. And when I pulled up on a Harley, you know, we were instantly bros. And but he saw that I wasn't wearing gloves, and he was a manager, and he's like, you know, you're a little slow to start, and I'm like, I can't feel my fingers, mm-hmm. So he gave me an extra pair of gloves, and anyway, the Harley quickly lost its glimmer when I had to ride it every day, everywhere, and so yeah, that was anticlimactic for me. I waited forever for it. I thought as a kid, there's nothing better than being able to own a Harley, and yeah, it's cool to own a Harley if you've got alternative means of transport, if it's a fun item to ride on the weekends. But if it's the only thing you can ride, then they're expensive to repair, and they're not the most reliable, and they're cold and uncomfortable.
Yeah, so I rode a motorcycle all through high school and first half of college, mostly because I crashed my first car and we couldn't afford insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So all we could get was a motorcycle. But yeah, absolutely. I'd get to class, and it wouldn't be until maybe second period where I could write.
Right.
You know, because mm-hmm. your hands are just so cold. This was Tucson in February, and any exposed skin anywhere, neck, anything, was just frozen.
Yeah.
Frozen.
And I would answer phones too. And my tongue, I couldn't get my tongue to work. Hello. And I worked at Wholesome Bakery taking orders.
Yeah, but no, I see what you're saying. I loved getting my first bike. I remember my parents brought home our first ATC three-wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
My dad had a moped, and I'd love to take the moped out and ride the canals and stuff. And I remember just wiping out, you know, and just
on the moped
up in a cloud of dust in the moped. I was too young. I didn't realize that
was
they
it
don't
a
perform
dirt?
The same on dirt.
Yeah, that was it a – because there are some mopeds that got some beefier tires, right?
No, this was like a little, you know, little moped, yeah, that my dad had, and you'd crank the pedals to get it started. And
oh, cool.
You know, it was awesome. But yeah, we'd zip around on the canals down here. And I remember just getting those speed wobbles and then not knowing what to do. And then just, well, when I woke up, I was on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And then I walked that moped home, you know. So I loved it. If we still had it, I'd still ride it. It was fun.
How about you, Adam?
What a purchase I regretted?
No, purchase that you really highly anticipated, and then did the hype live up to the anticipation?
Okay, so I'm going to take you back to 1993, okay, pre-internet, and I was big into baseball back in my
younger
years.
So you're like in
7th
grade.
I was 10.
Oh, okay. I was like 5th grade.
Something like that. And so at the time, I really looked up to the professional athletes, Michael Jordan, Jose Canseco, you know, in baseball. And I was in baseball at the time, and so all I wanted was a wooden bat, just like the big leagues, you know. And because all I knew was metal. That's all
Louisville
we had.
Louisville Slugger.
Yep, Louisville Slugger, exactly. And so, you know, I would look at the – I grew up in a small podunk town outside of Tucson. And so for us to go and get something like that, it's an hour drive to Tucson.
Where was this?
Wilcox is the name of the little town that I grew up in. And so back in the day, this is pre-internet, so we would get like flyers in the mail, little shoppers, if you will, from like Target, or this was from Kmart at the time. And so Kmart has a little thing, and in the sports section, you know, had basketballs, and then you had wooden bats and stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, there it is, you know? And so I saved and saved. I don't know how much it was at the time. I want to say it was probably like $30. But as a 10-year-old, it took me a while. Like, it took me months. I don't know if I've ever tried as hard to earn money as I did for that bat. And so the day came where I had my money, and then I had to wait. The next time we go to Tucson, go to town is what we would say, I was going to get this bat. And so I did. We went to Kmart. I was so excited. I finally got this thing, you know, took it home. And when we got home, after that hour drive, I ran straight to the backyard and threw up a baseball and just cranked that thing. And right when I hit it, it snapped in half.
Seriously?
Yeah. Apparently, you're supposed to hit baseballs with the mark up.
Yes.
You know, it says Louisville Slugger.
So you're hitting the grain on the baseball.
There's a grain to it I didn't know about.
I did.
One hit, it was toast. Snapped it right in half.
Really?
So.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I was into baseball, not as much, and I wanted a Louisville Slugger as well, saved as well. It's funny that, you know, we have similar kind of backgrounds, but yeah, I remember my friend, he hit it on the mark, and, you know, it separated the grain, and I don't think I ever forgave that kid.
I couldn't get over the jolt. There's no, you know, when we grew up playing baseball all the time too, but you know, you wanted the metal bats, you know, they kind of, the vibration, the
temper that
the concussion of the ball hitting the bat, the wood bat doesn't absorb that.
Right.
I remember just my hand, you know, just being like, oh man, wood is terrible.
Well, I was just left, I was all alone, you know, in the backyard, and I just have the grip, like this part of the bat, just the grip.
Still in your hands.
And it's all fractured, you know, I'm just like, what the... Just dropped it and walked inside.
No, you didn't just return it to Amazon?
No, not in 1993.
Yeah. For me, it was the Power Glove.
No wonder Kmart went under.
Nintendo Power Glove. Remember that?
No.
Oh, I remember the ads. I mean.
Yeah, and so, yeah,
but
you
there's
could
no way we could
control
it.
The game with just motions on your hand and everything. And
how well did it work?
And they had like buttons and stuff.
Well, I begged and begged for Christmas. That's all I wanted. It was a
power
glove. So I got it. In fact, there's still a picture of me my parents took with the power glove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that Fred Savage movie, The Wizard or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it was a big deal. And I remember playing it, you know, playing Duck Hunt or Rad Racer or whatever. And the thing didn't work. It sucked.
Yeah.
It was so bad. But I couldn't bring myself to say how terrible it was because I'd made such a big deal about it. I didn't want my parents to feel bad, like they wasted their money. How is it? Oh, it's so good. Meanwhile, I never used it. You know, yeah. I'll just use the controller. It worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That reminds me of Apple, actually.
Mm.
What do you mean?
Well, you pay so much for these Apple products, and in reality, they're really kind of far behind current technology.
People tell ourselves, oh my gosh,
it's an iPhone. It's an iPhone. Oh, it's got all the new things. It's like, oh, Android had that like 5 years ago, but
yeah,
that's okay.
We had that conversation
last night.
Apple
makes it look good.
That's the thing, yeah. You pay for the...
Yeah, the people that are really techie, that are really into it, that want to just get into every little function that's out there, they like the Android, they like the open AI, they like the open source type things. But people like me...
Freedom, yeah.
It's overrated. People like me, I use a 10% of what even the average user... My teenager uses far more than I use on my phone. And I still don't know, like, Messenger. Every time I get something on Messenger, I'm like, hey, somebody sent me something on Messenger. She's like, Dad, are you serious? Here. And, you know, pull it up on Messenger. I'm like, text, call... Go to YouTube. That's really all I need.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you saw my phone last night and gave me the one over on it.
Yeah, that would make me so itchy to look at my phone and see hundreds of notifications. Hundreds of notifications on this guy's phone. And I could not live like that. If I get
one red... How did you even know that? I don't know where that is.
Well, I could tell when you opened your screen, I saw your red on your thing, and there's a... number, but yours was like long.
It was 200.
It wasn't like
something.
One or four.
Oh, that number.
Like the circle wasn't...
I never look at that number.
The red circle wasn't round anymore. Your red circle's like shaped like a pill because the number's
so... 673.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And you haven't read them. So what? How do you know?
That's the thing. Ignorance is bliss.
Your mom could have...
I'm super
some urgent
happy
news
right now
for you, and you just don't even know because it's down.
If it's urgent news, you know my policy. Phone call first.
Okay.
Order priority.
Okay.
Actually,
are we going there? Are we going to take it that
physically
direction?
Come and find me.
Okay.
Number one, if it's super important, come and find me physically and talk to me face to face.
Because I have this discussion with my kids. When is it appropriate to text? When should you call? And I don't know what other modem
email.
Of email. Okay.
Email, text, phone call.
So
if it wasn't
lay out the protocol, etiquette.
Okay, sure. If it wasn't important enough for you to physically do something besides this with my thumbs, then it's not important to me. It's not important to you. It's not important to me. Okay? So
now,
find me. Come find me, number one, if it's super important. Number two, phone call, you know, make an effort to actually dial something or push buttons and then talk, you know. And then on the lowest of the totem pole would be a text.
Really?
That just tells me I didn't have enough. This isn't important enough to me to make an effort to call you about or come see you about. Therefore, you don't need to take it very seriously.
Well, we've left out two. Email and then
email,
actual handwritten letter.
Email.
Ooh, a handwritten letter.
Email would be on par with text to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no.
What's your priority? That's the way I view
You're
things.
Living life wrong. So...
Tell me how it's done. I'm going to
text is a legitimate form of communication today.
Yeah,
it's a legitimate way to communicate. And
well, let me be clear. Sorry to cut you off. I agree with you. When I'm on the end texting, I expect a response immediately. Okay.
Now, one of the things that I hate,
but not when I'm
is
on the
if
end.
If you text somebody, and then they call you, I think you need to stay in the mode of communication.
I hear you.
If the conversation was initiated via text, it stays in text.
Unless the tone is escalating and you're like, I think these texts might be misinterpreted.
Right, or if it's urgent and they're driving or something like that. But I see text as, I think, you know, if you had to assign like a window of response, email, could be 24 to 48 hours.
Okay.
So yeah, if it's real urgent, it's not an email.
Right.
Text, I mean, I shorten that to...
a couple hours maybe?
No. 5 to 10 minutes.
Really?
Wow. 5 to 10 minutes, I want a response.
Wow.
Don't you think that, like, you can never really get heavily involved in what you're working on if you're constantly linked to whoever...
Do not disturb. I use the do not disturb. Use deep focus at the office where we shut all of it down for 2 to 3 hours.
Really?
Because if it breaks your concentration, steady. Yes. If yeah. you break your concentration, it takes you 15 minutes to get
at least, if you can get back to it.
The mind flow of what you're focusing on.
Yes.
So, yes. But that's how I see phone calls. That's an interruption. And it's a bigger interruption than a bing on your phone. This is, now I have to completely shift gears and engage with you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Break away from what I'm doing.
Okay.
I don't want people out there to think they can't call me. You can obviously call me. And a call is certainly, oh, this must be important.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first thought, right? Oh, this must be.
My first thought was, I'm going to call Chris from now on every time.
Yeah.
Right. Might be on Do Not Disturb. You know, I can silence your calls.
Block.
Thanks to the geniuses at Apple. I don't know if Android has that yet.
Yeah, I wish you, when you silenced a call or ignore, you pressed ignore.
Silence certain people. So when they call, you don't see it.
At all?
You'll see the voicemail or whatever.
It goes immediately to voicemail?
Yeah. It's an automatic send of voicemail.
But they know. They know.
Because
it doesn't ring the full four times.
When I ring, like, okay, trade secret. If somebody calls me and I'm busy and I can't talk to them, I'll let it ring 3 or 4 times before I send them to voicemail.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because if you get sent to voicemail on the first ring...
They saw the call.
Is that an insult? Is that a brush off?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's all this etiquette with that.
I feel the same way. Like, you want to let it ring a little bit to let them know, hey, I'm busy. Can't get it right now.
I never think, well, they're just busy. It's, oh, man, they're mad. They don't like me. They're mad.
Mm-hmm. Immediately, right?
Yeah. Who's this guy? He thinks he can just send me to voicemail?
Yeah.
I'm a 4-ring voicemail.
When do you have to write a handwritten letter?
When do you have to write a handwritten letter?
Yeah.
Cursive.
You know, actually when I was dealing with my insurance company recently, you had to write a physical letter and mail it to them.
IRS, we just ran into this a few days ago. The IRS, we had to...
What about family members and etiquette? I'm not saying just when is it required because of bureaucratics that haven't updated their systems. I mean, like, etiquette-wise.
I think it would demonstrate a high level of respect and love to get a handwritten letter from
mm-hmm.
someone. I think that's probably the ultimate display of care and affection. Would be
my wife
sit
and
down
I
and handwrite a letter to somebody.
Have a tradition, and where we've got this journal that on every holiday we write a letter to each other, but it's in the journal, so we don't have to collect the letters and it'll get lost.
You pass it back and forth?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's pink, and so that is one downside to that. But
the ink isn't pink, though, right?
Well, it's a white fluffy feather. With
blue or black? It's a white.
The one that
got slippers with the little poof ball?
Yeah.
The feather pin I got you, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about a white, fluffy, like Legally Blonde, the one she uses in that one.
That's a nice tradition.
Yeah, so that is, and it doesn't matter grammar, you know, it doesn't really matter. You can let all of that go because you're writing it by hand, and that trumps any grammar, any misspelling, and just the fact that you put the time and effort into doing it. And, you know, if somebody's sick, I think that surpass, you know, email that's impersonal, text is okay. You know, you can text them, say how you doing. But if you send them a card and you handwrite that card, mm-hmm. I think that's a big deal.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game. Marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with her hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex. How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
I think that's a lost etiquette.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Do you do it?
No.
Oh. You strike me as a person that would.
No, but now that you mention it, I might start. I might start.
We do it
whenever I need something from a contractor. I'll write them a letter. Can you send me a sample of this?
Handwritten.
Yeah, handwritten.
Hear ye, hear ye. Let it be known,
dear contractor.
Yeah.
No, I think yeah. So handwriting, I think that's something that's got to be on the decline. I just don't see it happening.
Well, this isn't along the same lines of the topic, but you know, with ChatGPT in there, that can write so much better than I could ever write. Mm-hmm. I could just put in all the topics that I love about my wife, and it could put it in there more eloquently than I could ever compose it. Yeah, the handwritten letter still trumps that. I think we need to get back to that in high school. My kids are going to high school right now, and you cannot participate in high school without a laptop. They will issue a laptop. Right. They don't care if you break it every single day. They'll issue you a new one. And I've, you know, had kids, it's like you have too much screen time and you're figuring out how to get around all of their blocks, their firewalls on the laptop and just playing games every day. You're not going to do it on a laptop. You're just going to go to school, do your work regular. You're like, what is regular? There is no regular. It's only on the laptop. we only get our assignments on the laptop. And some of the assignments, some of the written writings that I see, I'm like, that's ChatGPT. And the problem is you can never really, like, verify that.
Difficult.
And so
use other AI to investigate whether that was AI generated.
I put it into Copilot, ChatGPT, to ask if this was, and it was like, it looks like it, but I can't be sure. And so I think getting back to handwritten assignments would probably be a benefit to a lot of kids.
I wonder if I've often wondered, so you're talking about this, like, this digital way of doing work and stuff instead of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only speak for myself. So I did piano growing up, and it gets to the point where, like, you play a song so much off of multiple sheets of paper that it's just in there, like it's memorized. And then when I would, like, read a book or something, I would be able to, if I remembered a concept, I remember where it was, like, positionally.
Mm. Yes.
You know, I don't know exactly maybe what page it was on, but I know what it kind of looked like because the structure of the words and the way that it dropped. Uh-huh. I knew it was in the top right-hand corner on the page.
You might have put a bracket around it that you know to look for that bracket or underline.
And so I wonder if the kids aren't losing that ability to, like, spatially be aware and construct things in their mind and be able to retain better information. I've always thought that because
I found that
of
myself. I have zero short-term memory anymore. Like, if I get an 8-digit number for a passcode, I'm like, I'm copy and pasting that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to remember it and then type it back in. And I don't even want to look at the other screen to type it back in. I'm just going to copy and paste that. And I used to be able to, tell me a number. Okay, I got it, and write it in. But that's gone.
I have a memory device for that.
Memorizing numbers?
Anything.
So you mean,
like, some of the greatest, you've seen this, right? Where, like, actually it's in a book that you read.
Okay.
Where it's like the guy that he had a goal. He was a reporter.
Yeah.
And he had to report
moonwalking with Einstein.
Yeah. He had to report 1 year on these memory tests, or like competitions.
Mm-hmm. National competition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was worldwide maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
And, so he was reporting on this, and he had to go visit and watch this competition. And basically what they do is they give you all this data, just regurgitate to you, and then you have to regurgitate it back.
Yeah, you walk around a room, and people will tell you their name, the first name, the last name, how they spell it, their address, their phone number, things
like
that.
Lots of data.
Lots of information.
Lots of stuff, right? And then, you know, you win if you can spit that back out.
Right.
I don't know if time is a part of it, too, a component. I don't remember, Sean. But it might be, like, if you can do it perfectly within this amount of time or the fastest person. I don't know if that was the thing or not. But the point is, he's like, he reported on this and he was so fascinated by it. He's like, I want to do this. I'm going to learn how to do this. So he really jumps into this competition and ends up winning it, I think, the next year.
Because he jumped into it. Up to the winner, and this is how it starts. He goes up to the winner, and he is perceiving that the people participating in these events are all savants. They're people that just naturally memorize everything that they hear and see. And
yourself.
Yeah. Mm. And he asks the winner, when did you realize that you had this gift? And he's like, there's no gift. This is just practice.
Right.
And he said, really? He says, oh, yeah. He goes, so I could do it. He says, if you put in, and I can't remember how many hours it was a day, something like 3 hours a day, and you did these certain techniques, you could memorize as well as we do. And you could get in the top 10 within a year or two. And so his book now becomes, instead of just a brief article of who has won this contest, it becomes a novel of his quest to learn, number one, what the techniques are, and number two, do savants, truly functioning in society savants, actually exist? Or are they only the savants that we know that are out there, like what's the Rain Man type person that can memorize a phone book, but, you know, still needs his mom to cook him breakfast.
A chess, Bobby Fischer, chess kid.
I don't know. Anyway, so what was your technique?
Oh, well, you know it. So are you familiar with it or no, Chris?
No, I'm fascinated.
You're looking at us like we're crazy, so.
I use visualization
to
memorize. If I see a number, much more likely to memorize.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. If I can visualize it or see it, I think that's a learning mechanism too. They say the more senses that you have involved with something, the better retention you'll have of that. Mm-hmm. So seeing it, saying it, hearing it,
at remember the same, where you heard it, or
yeah, well, it'll be stuck in your memory,
all
right?
Part of the memory.
So this guy, what I guess the key
Joshua
to it all is
Joshua Foyer is his name.
Joshua Foyer, I guess what he learned to do is you imagine a place that's really intimate to you. If you were to have a blindfold on, you could walk around in that area.
Know it.
Usually it's like your childhood home, right? I can picture my childhood home right now, and you walk in the front door. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what it looks like. I can walk around, turn all, and so that's what you do. So as you're giving me data, I'm taking that data and I'm walking through my house. I come in the front door and you tell me 9, 2, 8, 6, 7, I'm putting a 9 right when I come in. I'm putting a 2 as I'm stepping through by the piano.
Oh, okay.
As I turn right and down the hallway, I'm putting my 8.
They're objects in a place.
And so basically you're just dropping these objects visually in your mind in this really intimate place that you know. And then when it comes time to give it back to you, I just walk through my house.
Yeah. Two's over there.
Yeah, the 9's here when I come in. 2, 8 down the hallway. I'm turning into the bedroom. That was a 6. So.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
You don't seem convinced.
Phones do it better. No, that's, yeah. I mean, I can still remember phone numbers, addresses,
mm-hmm.
streets I lived on, kids, growing up. But I can't. I can remember most of my wife's phone number, but
really?
Oh yeah. Well, we've only been married 6 years.
Yeah, that's true. It's a new one. It's a new one to you.
Well, I
learned it with phones.
Yeah.
Like when you were a kid, you had to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I got to remember dad's work number. I got to remember mom's work number. I got to call, Bobby's number was this.
And I think that is what's happening today is we're presenting them the information that was presented to us, but before it was presented to us on paper, and we rewrote it with pencil, and so we're using our motor skills, and we're having to concentrate on our handwriting and think of what we're writing as we do it, and all of those different sensories are going into that information, and so it's helping us retain it better, whereas just the concept of here's the information, now produce something with this information that shows that you understand it. And kids are struggling to do that. And we're wondering, well, why are they? They have every tool necessary. Well, they have too many tools.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. It's too easy.
It's use it or lose it.
Uh-huh.
So I would do crossword puzzles. And I had this job in Tucson where everybody in the office would do crossword puzzles because we had a kind of a monotonous job that was on the phones, telemarketing. And so you could do it without even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we would sit there and everybody would do crossword puzzle. And there was these people that had been working there for 3-4 years. And they could do the daily crossword puzzle in the paper in minutes.
Wow.
Just knock it out. And I was like, man, how do you do that? It's taking me 20, 30 minutes to do it. Well, after being there for a couple of years, I was doing the crossword puzzle in minutes. Because you just get sharper. That part of your brain
mm-hmm.
that's doing that gets, just like any kind of training. It just gets quicker, sharper. You start to read the patterns and you start to pick up on it. And so, I think if you can train your brain, I don't know if it's a muscle, but if you can train
it. But it's like a muscle in that way.
But if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've lost, our peripheral vision, because we don't need it. We're not worried about something coming at us from the side anymore.
Mm.
So we have less peripheral vision now than they did back in the caveman days because they weren't worried about that.
Are you just pulling that out of the air just because?
No, I read it somewhere. I remember reading it somewhere. There was a study.
There was an Instagram post on
that. It had something to do with the size of the eyeballs and the size of the sockets and so they had greater peripheral vision.
Uh-huh.
Because they needed it. You needed it to survive.
And their canines were longer.
Who said this, though? I mean, it's like, would you see that on the cave wall? Like the hieroglyphics? Like, oh, we see this far.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I don't know why they're Asian, but.
It was something, scientists come up with stuff. I don't know. It makes sense.
Okay.
I can believe it.
All right.
No, I think that the exercising the brain muscle and the ability to do that, we see that kids, they learn technology very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, your brain's really malleable as a kid, and you learn languages easier, you learn, you know, skills and sports easier. And as adults, it takes us a little bit longer. And I don't know if it's because we don't put the excitement and energy into it, or if our brain has solidified a little bit more. I don't know what this the science is behind that. But with kids, they have everything. They have just everything at their fingertips. And I think just like you and I and Chris, we anticipated those things, the Nintendo game, the glove, the baseball bat, whatever it was. And the anticipation, I think, is half of the excitement and the enjoyment that comes in life in general. And the acquiring it is, to me, always a letdown. I've never anticipated something for a long time and then acquired it, and it was better than I ever imagined. And that's just kind of the way life is. What other last words of wisdom do you have?
We don't need another Marisco's shop in Yuma.
What's Marisco's?
Marisco's? What's Marisco's, Martin? Mexican seafood. Mexican seafood.
Okay.
We have enough. We're good.
What we do need is a sunflower district.
We do need a sunflower district. Yeah. Yeah. So the sunflower district is Yuma's first indoor food hall, which is coming soon. So we're excited about it.
Got it. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That's all the time we have for today. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you...
And then I...
And then we brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science.
Raised the funds.
Shifted the narrative.
And transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together.
Established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me, and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place, and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.